Hello, Relationship Monday family. This is Monty Weatherall. I want to take you to a very special conversation that I had with my best friend in the world over 30 years, Pastor Michael Bradford. We dealt with everything from forgiveness to marriage to having the capacity to love and learn your mate. This is a great conversation. I just wanted to get it to you so that you can grow with us. Enjoy. What's up, everybody? Surprise, surprise, surprise. Oh, man. I hope you guys are getting this right here. I'm here on a special, I don't know what to call it, PM in the PM show with my best friend in the world, Pastor Michael Bradford. And I want to talk about him to you, man, about Bones. And I thought it was a great show tonight. And also just kind of get the people excited and ready for Saturday, man. We got a big day coming up this Saturday. I want everybody to come on, share this video. This is a special. This is like, you know, man. this is like Michael coming back and singing with the Jackson 5. This special.
That's right.
They gonna get the next 30 minutes of special.
That's right.
So, yes, man. Yes, sir. So I'm giving everybody a chance to log on because they totally can't believe they see us on here on a Tuesday.
I can't see the people logging on. Is that just where I'm at? Or?
Yeah, I just think that's where you are.
You know what? I'm gonna put it on my other iPad.
Yeah, I can see him. Hey, y'all! Come on, everybody, share this video. I'm gonna talk. I got my man in the on the. I don't even know what to call the show because it's Tuesday on a PM in the PM. How's that? PM in the PM.
PM in the PM.
Yeah, how's that? I got my man here for about 30 minutes. You know he only gonna give us 30 minutes. That's how the
30.
That's how the superstars do it. You know, they only give you 30 minutes. We bring y'all into the inner sanctum of man talk and how men talk, guys. So, this is a rarity when y'all see us together for this long. And this is no production. I ain't got no notes. He don't have no notes.
That's right. Barbershop, baby.
We just gonna flow. So, man, how you feeling about, first of all, your birthday?
Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah.
Should we tell our audience, viewing audience, what happens every year? So every year for like the last 30 years, I call them on the 18th. Happy birthday, my birthday tomorrow.
You know what's so sad? Now watch this. You called me on the 18th, and my mom and my dad used to call me on the 18th. So the people who are close to me, I don't know what this is. But they want to make it that I was born on the 18th. I got birth certificate. I got proof. 3-something in the morning on the 19th. But for whatever the reason, people don't want to buy it.
I don't know, man. And you know, I told you today, I said, man, my calendar on my phone said tomorrow, Mike's birthday.
Right.
I called you and said, nah, that ain't right. My phone don't know what it's talking about.
My mom actually called me and sang happy birthday. As soon as she saw it, I said, Mom, come on. I've told you this is not my birthday. She's like, Mom, well, you got to come on and accept it. There's nothing for me to accept. But for some reason, people believe that the 18th is my birthday. So by default, I guess I should get 2 days, right?
Yeah. I think you just need to come on to the correct side.
That's not happening.
I think you need to. Hey, man, I want to talk to you about Bone tonight, man. It was a great show, man. You talked about so much about value. I just want to talk a little bit about that, you know, and also he ain't gonna like this, y'all, but it's his birthday. I'm his best friend. So I'm calling it's my show. So, so that's a triple threat. He gonna take some questions tonight. So
y'all give me a call.
Hey, it's his birthday, right? So y'all can give him a call at 618-230-3839. You can ask him questions about what he's talking about tonight. So, man, let's just go back into a little bit of what you were talking about tonight.
Yeah.
And I tell you, man, what was really powerful that you talked about tonight is how when you view, and I think you use a great analogy with third world country, right? And sometimes how they view things is totally different how we view and what affects us. They may be totally oblivious to because it's not important to them.
That's right.
And then you walk this into how we view love. Let's talk a little bit more about that, man. Just go back in there a little bit.
Well, you know what? I think a lot of times, like you say, we look at people and we think that what they're experiencing is our perception, okay? And what they're experiencing is nothing like what we're perceiving in our minds. And so in relationships, a lot of times, that's how people end up in, you know, you and one person, one relationship, another person, another relationship, because they're thinking that what, how they're seeing it is how it actually is. And when you see relationships that there's disparity in behavior, where one person's behavior is just so subpar and another person just really trying to get them to come up, you know, to, you know, how we living in the free world, you know, it begins to be drama in the relationship. And it's just, you know, it begins to be Heartbreak Hotel, as Michael Jackson's song said, you know, whereby, you know, you can't get to the place you want to get to because they've never experienced what it is you're trying to share with them.
You know, man, you know, I think the other piece that you brought out tonight was about this whole idea of value, man.
Right.
To me, I mean, man, I know I got you teaching it again. I just wanted to just because I know, you know, when we're on shows, we got points and we got places to go. Right. I just wanted to slow that down a little bit, man. Talk about that, man. And let's wrap about that a little bit.
Okay. Well, value. I think what happens in relationships now is people, and I say this from my heart, people are not valuing one another, okay? And you hear me define value as esteeming, okay, yeah, to hold in high regard. And you see in relationships now where people, it seems like it's all about how they feel and not about how it affects the person that they're in relationship with. So when I really value you, what matters to you matters to me, okay? If when you cry, I hurt. When I cry, you hurt. When you hurt, I cry. When I hurt, you cry, you know. And so when I really value you, there can be nothing that happens to you that does not affect me as well. And so we're both in this relationship to make sure that everybody gets what everybody is supposed to have. And any other mindset, man, it's bad, man. It's bad. It's bad.
And that man, that's so true. And I think we have to learn. Bro, man, we have to learn how to really have that, for lack of better words right now, discerning power, discernment, man, that can this person, can they even come up to my level of value?
Exactly.
You have to be able to discern that.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Because when you deal with people and you get into positions where you're hurt, if they don't have your level of value, they can't comfort you in your pain. And so that means that every time you get in a rough spot, you by yourself.
Okay? That's good.
And we see a lot of people that they're by themselves in rough spots and their partner just doesn't know how to console them.
You know?
You know, just, you know, the bed, they pat on the back, you know, but they don't know how to really meet the need so that this person can go to the next place. And so value in itself has discernment. Because when I value you, I've watched you enough,
man,
to know how to minister to what's happening to you right now, because you care so much. Because when I care about you,
yeah,
I'm watching those nuances. I'm I'm able to intercede and get in the middle of you and destruction because you mean that much to me.
Wow, I am here tonight, y'all. It's PM in the PM. It's not PM. Relation Monday. I like PM in the PM. You know, I come up stuff real quick like that. You know, on my feet. I'm here with my boy, man. We're going to have some fun tonight. Hey, again, I've talked. Now, listen, you don't get this on bone. See, I had to pull my friend card. We taking questions now. So you can give him a call right now. You can ask him any question that you want to ask him about the Bone Show tonight. This is the relationship guru. In fact, you know, another reason why I wanted to have you on tonight, man, because I'm excited about what's going down this Saturday, man, that's coming up. I think it's something that everybody ought to be a part of it, man. I want everybody to just kind of watch this promo right quick.
A lot of times we talk about change, but we don't really believe change can happen. We generally think 60,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day. 60,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day. And what's interesting about that is 90% of those thoughts are the same thoughts that we had on yesterday. Sometimes in us, there is a resistance that's keeping us from getting the desired life that we want. And so the only way to get rid of those things is I'm going to have a conscious interrupt to break that thought pattern so that I can live the life that I truly desire.
Wow. One of the best conferences, man, that's coming to town. You bring it to town this Saturday from 9 o'clock to 4 o'clock. Immersion conference, man. Let's talk about immersion just a little bit. And again, if you got a question for Pastor Michael Bradford, you can give me a call at 618-230-3839. You can also inbox me at Monty Weatherall. I got my inboxes are lighting up. You can inbox me at Monty Weatherall here on Facebook. We'll ask him. He don't ever take questions, so I pulled a friend card. I'm trying to get y'all to get a, you know, y'all be like, please take my question. No, be like 7:30. I tricked them to coming back on. So let's talk a little bit about immersion, man. Immersion. Tell me, how did you get the name immersion? What can the people expect in this 7 or 8 hour day?
Okay. I think a few things. I'm gonna start with the name. I was talking to a friend of mine. I was going through a hard time. And as I was going through this hard time, she asked me a question that I thought was interesting. She said, what would you do if you were a mega pastor? Mm. That was the question she asked me. And when she asked me that question, I said, you know what? I probably would be doing conferences and things like that. Now, what's interesting was she moved from the low level of problems to take me to a whole nother level, to show me a way of thinking that I wasn't looking at in the present moment. And so when she asked me that question, I said, I'll probably be doing conferences. And she said, then that's what you should do right now. Wow. Now, what's interesting about that, Mon, is everything I watched after that talked about, do you have the courage to do outwardly what you see inwardly? Ooh. Everything after that was making that statement to me. And so I was listening to something, and I heard the word immersion, and it just hit me in my spirit. Immersion, going down, going deep, getting a deep revelation of it. And a lot of times what we don't understand is the resistance that we have in us, the blocks that we have. You know, we want to be better than we are, but in reality, we don't know how to get there. And you'd be surprised, and I'm going to talk about this in a conference, what the gap is that keeps you from being, from one person being a superstar and another person being average. And wow. So what we want to do in this conference is we want to show you what that block is in your life, show you how long you have to decide to make that decision, and then put you on the road to be the person that you know you're supposed to be. All of us have been through some hurt and some pain. I think hurt and pain is what launches us into our destiny. You know, you got your book out, you know, and when we read your book, we talk about how you've been, well, not we, but you talk about the things that you've been through, your horrific past, you know, how God got you to this point. But here's the thing. All of that it took to make you the great man that you are now. Yeah. And when we're in the moment, we don't see how things are being put together to take us to another place. But when we're able to look back and then we'll make the proper decision because we have proper people in our lives, then we're able to see, you know what? What I thought was going to kill me only made me stronger. And this conference is part of those, one of those building blocks to that some of the things you've been through to get you proper perspective on it. So that, watch this, it becomes a building block to step on to take you to your higher place.
Man, and I'm glad that, you know, you're really taking the time to really explain it, bro, to folks that's watching tonight, because I just believe it's just going to be life changing. I love the fact that, you know, you're taking it outside of the church. Mm-hmm. It doesn't stop us from being Christian. Right. You know, the word is through and through, so it's going to ooze out of us. And exactly. Any principles that we give anyway, the word backs it all up. Exactly. But I'm just personally glad that you've taken it out of the church, because for one, it reaches everybody. But right. Then they get a chance to get it on a level where we don't have to cloak it and wrap it around the dogmas of a worship service.
That's right. That's right.
If that makes sense, what I'm saying.
You know what? It makes perfect sense. There's a brother, you know, he signed up. He's of the Islam nation. And one of the things, the first question he asked when he saw it, he was like, well, where is it being held? You know, because he wouldn't come into a church setting. But when he found out that it was at the convention center, then that was convincing for him to make him make the purchase to want to be there to attend. And so a lot of times, you know, if we go to scripture, he said, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. A lot of times we act like that there's only one way something can be done. When in reality, God has so many ways that he wants to reach so many people. And if we narrow him down to one avenue, then really we don't have a God that's diverse. We don't have a God that's really worthy of serving, because he only has one way of doing things. So God is diverse. We should be diverse. And we need to remember that when we deal with people.
Man, this is good. We're on PM in the PM show. I just come up with show names. You know, Relationship Monday is my official bread and butter. But I'm here with my friend, Michael Bradford, man. I just wanted to talk to him because the show was so powerful tonight. I got a tons of questions, Mike, man, on just coming from people like Jamie. Jamie's still going to teach me how to pronounce her last name because I want to pronounce that beautiful last name. But we got tons of questions coming from Jamie and others that we're going to talk about in a moment. Something you said earlier, you know, you mentioned kind of my book and what we've gone through and what others have gone through to really take us to a level where we can help people and really use what tried to break us to really make us and make us to the person that we are. Last night, I was supposed on Relationship Monday, I was supposed to have Caroline Leaf on. Caroline Strauss. And Caroline Leaf is another person I want to bring on. You know, she is awesome, isn't she?
Yes, she is. But
Caroline Strauss was trying to get her on last night. We had all type of technical difficulties. But man, she introduced me to a term, and it goes right to what you were saying. She says, Monte, you know, she says, have you ever heard of post-traumatic stress? She said, of course you've heard of that. I said, yes, ma'am. She says, but have you ever heard of post-traumatic growth? And I said, no, ma'am. She said about 15 or 18 years ago in psychological circles, psychology circles, they begin to come up with this term, post-traumatic growth. And it's exactly what you're talking about, Mike, man. These painful, traumatic incidents in your life, what should have broken you, mm-hmm. actually propelled you launched you and grew you into the person that you are today. And I think that's some of the things you're going to be getting to the bottom at with, and showing the people at Emerging Saturday. Would you agree with that?
I agree 100%. I think that all of us have to be really clear that I don't care who we even admire. Everybody has struggled with self-doubt. Everybody at some, you know, is wondering, you know, can I do this? Am I able to do this? The difference between those who are successful and those that are not is that there's no hesitation when they come to making the choices. And so if we can teach ourselves to not hesitate, because the brain is wired that when we hesitate, the brain says something's wrong. Mm. So the brain is designed to stop us upon hesitation. And a lot of times it's not that there's something wrong. A lot of times that we're just not used to doing something because it's out of our wheelhouse. And so when you begin to understand that, and you begin to understand what that gap is all about, then you can bridge that gap and then change your life and then have the growth. And watch this. And what happened to you doesn't stunt you, but it begins to actually propel you even faster. Your trajectory is even higher.
That's good. That's good, man. So, again, we're on with Mike Bradford, man. We're going to be, his birthday is tomorrow.
Yes, it is.
Man, he's going to be 35.
That's right. For the 17th time.
And, man, you know, so we're going to have a good time, you know, tomorrow. I don't know what you're doing, but I tell you what, my wife going to be on her way to Florida, so I'm free.
Yes,
so I don't want you calling me 30 talking about, man, we went bowling. Man, we went out to eat. Man, I hooked up with this person. We went out to breakfast. Man, I'm going to be in St. Louis at 4:30 in the morning. So I don't want to hear all that, man. Don't call me Thursday. Man, bowling.
So here's the play, because I'm at the gym at 5.
Okay.
So I don't know how we want to do this, but we can do breakfast. We can set that right now. We can do breakfast. I come on your side, 8 o'clock.
I'm already over the fact. We can go work out.
Notice he's scratching his head now.
I was thinking about working out. We get a birthday workout in.
Well, I got to get my workout on, but I got lunch at 11 with my family. So
okay. I'm family. I'm family.
No, I'm talking about. Come on, man. Okay. do y'all see how he does me?
Hey, man.
I gave him 8 o'clock first part of the day, and now he wants me to work out home.
But you know, with the intermittent fasting, I can't eat to noon anyway. So.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, 11 o'clock. Oh, that's right. Well, you know what? Why don't we look at the evening?
Okay.
Because I'm going to be eating all day.
Okay.
All day.
I don't want to hear that, man. You called me Thursday. We went bowling. And, man, we did all this. And Paul was there. And Hawk was there. And Frank was there.
No, well, that's not going to happen, friend. I promise you, that's not going to happen.
We're going to do this right this year.
Yes, sir.
I'll put
yes,
it on
sir.
Blast on worldwide internet. Hey, I want to go back into Bone tonight, bro.
Yes, sir.
So Jamie asked this question. She says, gents, can you talk more about the thimble versus bucket analogy? She loved this analogy that you gave tonight with the thimble versus bucket. Do you remember? Because I know sometimes we're in a zone when we're.
Oh, yeah, I remember exactly. Mm. A lot of times your capacity for love is greater than other people's capacity for love. And so you have to know that going in, that you have to find somebody who's able to deliver on that level. Sometimes we get in a relationship with people and the love we have in us, it overshadows the love that they have, that they're able to give back. So if I'm in a relationship with someone and my love is this big and their love is like this, then we know there's going to be relational conflict because I'm able to give myself in a way and express myself in a way that they don't have the capability of returning that, okay? So that's important for us to understand. So when I get into relationships with people, I want to make sure that their capacity to return or to reciprocate is on the same level as my capacity to give, okay? Or they have to be, and me and you talk about this all the time, they have to really be okay with being a student to learn so they can come up to speed, okay?
Absolutely. Because
if you can't upgrade them, then, you know, anything you can't upgrade over time, you have to discard. So, you know, we want to make sure that if we get in a relationship with people, they meet their capacity or they have capability and humility that they're willing to do what it takes to get there.
You know, man, that's it's fun. When you were talking about that piece tonight. And of course, we quoted the bishop, you know, T.D. Jakes, and he gave a great analogy. When I'm on book tour and I was thinking about Mike, man, I was thinking about this today. I said, I've got to do something in St. Louis. Because I've been traveling the country
right
on book tour, right? Talking about my book, Taking My Life Back. And, you know, in fact, I'll be in Detroit in November. And there's always this pivotal piece. And it's really the last piece that I give in my presentation. And it goes right back to what you were talking about. So before I say that, I was just thinking about that today. I was like, man, I got to do something. I got to rent a place. Because like you, I don't want to do it at the church, right?
Yeah.
I want to rent just a intimate evening where I can, because I really want to get this. I want to get this whole presentation on video,
right?
Get it on MP4 and bring all the equipment in and everything. But one of the things I tell them at the end of my presentation is that, and I talk about this in my book about how to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I tell them is that one way that I was able to forgive, especially a lot of people that devastated me in my life, was I realized that they didn't have the necessary equipment to be who I needed them to be.
That's right.
And you know, and one of the analogies that I use sometimes is a lot of wives are begging for husbands to be husbands, but they married boyfriends.
That's right.
They never had a capacity to be a husband. They didn't have a husband modeled for them.
That's right.
They weren't mentored by anybody who was a great husband.
That's right.
All they were ever trained to be was to be a boyfriend.
That's right.
From the time they found out they like girls, right?
That's right. That's right.
You know, to grade school, middle school, high school, college. There was never any husband trainings. And then we marry these men, women do, and they say, I want a husband, you're my husband. But they really have no idea what that's like.
That's
and
right.
So a lot of times I've set women down and men too, but I just use the woman analogy that I've set women down and I've said to them, hey, listen, you married a boyfriend.
That's right.
And as you're working on how to forgive him, can we give him grace to understand that you were asking him to address a hammer issue with a screwdriver?
That's good.
He didn't have the equipment.
That's good.
To give
that's
you good. What you needed.
That's right.
Does that make sense?
You know what? I that's really good. You can't do what you haven't saw, okay? And so if all he saw was the boyfriend coming and going, okay, not, you know, spending the night sometime, not spending the nights at other times, then that's his history and that's his frame of reference for male-female relationship. So when he gets into a relationship with a woman, you know, he might have heard, you know, about marriage and all of this, but that's not something he's ever seen modeled, as you said. So he's going to duplicate, okay, the life that he saw coming up. You know, that's back to that old subconscious programming, you know,
right.
That's running, you know, in the background. He will do what he's used to seeing. And so, like you said, and I think this is so important, like you said, we have to begin to understand that if it hurts us, it was hurt. Okay? And we forget that because it begins to be about all about the moment we in and the pain that we're experiencing. But if it brings hurt, that means that hurt was given to it.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So, right. Like you said, give the time, if they're upgradable,
right.
Give the
right.
time it takes to learn the new skills, okay? Because everybody is not to be discarded. Some people, they want an opportunity. They just haven't seen what better looks like, okay? And so just show me. There are some people, just show me how to do it. And I'm willing to do what it takes, but I just need a teacher, you know. And so this is where we at. So like you said, you know, give. Oh. I got my phone on airplane mode, so I don't know why that keeps happening because it's on airplane mode.
That's okay.
But give the opportunity to adjust and change so that I can be what you need.
Yeah, man, you know, exactly. And that's one thing. And I work this, you know, even with, you know, I asked a mother and a daughter. I don't know what state I was, what city I was in, but I asked a mother and a daughter to come to the stage because when they had questions, the mother and the daughter, this was a powerful moment. The mother and the daughter were in the audience together and the daughter just asked the question, me and mom not getting along. I don't mean to put you on, you know, the anointing was there because, you know, it was a church setting. And right. So me and mom not getting along. And I really want mom, you know, us to get along. And I just thank you, Pastor Monty, for being here. And so I had them both come to the stage. This was a powerful moment. I like, this is a moment I wish I could have taped and I could duplicate, right? Because you can't pay for those moments,
that's right?
So I said, well, and of course, you know, and the Holy Spirit is just there. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, young lady, do you have children? She says, yes, sir. I said, before I ask you anything else, how old are you? She said, 24. I said, how old were you when you became a mother? She said, 18.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay. I said, mama, meaning her mother. I said, mama, how old were you when you gave birth to this beautiful young lady? She says, I was 19. I said, now where is she in the order of children? She says, she's the third. I said, so how old were you when you gave birth to your first child? She said, 16. Right?
Right.
And I said, okay. I said, so you're 19, young lady, when you became a mom. I said, would you say that you knew everything about being a mother at 19? I said, as a matter of fact, I said, let me up the ante. How many years were you removed from high school? She said, about 2 years. I said, so you were almost 2 years removed from high school. You became a mother at 19. Would you say 2 years removed from high school, you knew everything about being a mom? She says, no, sir. I said, so you really had teenage things on your brain, right? She says, yes, sir. I said, so can you understand your mom?
Exactly.
Becoming a mother at 16.
16. Even you know, less.
Even less. She didn't know how to give you what she wasn't exposed to. She didn't have that tool in the toolbox.
That's right.
And I said, now here's what I'm willing to bet you. So I pulled out money, right? I said, I'll give you this $100 bill. What type of grandmother is she? Oh, she's a great grandmama. I said, because she's grown. She's exposed.
Right. She's learned.
Mature. She's learned.
That's right.
You know, and then the revelation came, right? And so that's what I think we have to understand with the thimble and the bucket and the capacity. Sometimes people just don't have that capacity. And when we're trying to forgive and be in relationship with them, I think we ought to, if as you say, if they could come up there, but particularly when you're in a covenant relationship,
right?
Give them that grace and understand.
That's right. You know, they say this and it's really true. 9 out of 10 offenses are due to misunderstandings, okay? Not somebody had intentional ill toward you, but there was misinterpretation of what was said, and yeah. That caused misunderstanding, which offense brewed out of, okay? And so when we really begin to understand that, for the most part, people are not trying to hurt you. But here's the thing, and me, you always talk about this, but when somebody gets hurt, the first thing to go is their hearing.
Mm.
So now, because I'm offended, I can't hear you well. Because all I hear you through my pain, okay? And so what we got to do is we got to rebuild that trust to say, you know what? Hey, I'm not trying to hurt you. I want to do the best that I can. Don't let the offense stop us from having a great relationship. Let's work through this, because at the end of the day, this would have never started if it wasn't something that I desired. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
so,
sir.
So we really got to remember that people don't want to check out. We don't want a 57% divorce rate. No one wants that. But because misinterpretation turns and misunderstanding turns into offense, and we don't allow people the space to get it, it begins to hurt us. I hope you heard me on that. Did it cut me out?
When we say we don't allow them the space, and then we cut.
Okay. Well, we don't allow them the space to rebuild it. We end up losing the relationship.
Man, that's good. Allow them the space, ladies and gentlemen, to rebuild it. I think that is so on point. One of the wonderful folks on here said churches can teach men to be husbands and women to be wives. Lisa, I think that's a good comment. However, I'll say, but the churches have to be intentional. And you know, we think we're being intentional by teaching on it in a 45-minute sermon. I don't necessarily believe that's the place to do it. I think the churches have to be intentional. Speaking of which, we have a marriage conference coming up at Love Church in November. I'll talk about that a little bit later. But yeah, I think you're right. I think churches are the place that, but I think we have to be intentional about it, and not necessarily because sometimes, I don't know about you, Mike, and I'm not saying us, but a lot of times when I hear churches talk about marriage in a 45-minute sermon, unless they're teaching on family, mm-hmm. it's always a drive-by comment. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it come off as fussing.
And you know what? Here's the reality of it. I wouldn't need all day for a conference if I could do it in a sermon. You understand what I'm saying? So it takes time to get real information to people. And it takes a setting whereby, you know, you can really sit and listen and not be obstructed with other things that might be distracting. So we really got to understand that yes, it's the church's job to help the family be what it needs to be, but it's also the family job to get the tools that it needs so that it can be the best family that it can be.
Speaking of getting the tools that you need, speaking of you taking, you know, an entire day to help folks, I want y'all to step back, man. I want to talk a little bit about immersion. I want to bring that back up into the picture. Everybody watch this.
A lot of times we talk about change, but we don't really believe change can happen. We generally think 60 to 70,000 thoughts a day. 60 to 70,000 thoughts a day. And what's interesting about that is 90% of those thoughts are the same thoughts that we had on yesterday. Sometimes in us, there is a resistance that's keeping us from getting the desired life that we want. And so the only way to get rid of those things is I'm going to have a conscious interrupt to break that thought pattern so that I can live the life that I truly desire.
We're here with my best friend, my dog, almost.
Dog.
How many people say they got 30-year friendships, man?
That's right.
You can register for Michael's conference at www.michaelbradfordenterprises.com. It's going down this Saturday from 9:00 to 4:00. So, man, so they can expect workshops. They can expect to go, I think, mentally and emotionally some places that maybe they've been too afraid to look at alone.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm gonna bounce back first of all, then I want to come back, because something you just said that to me kind of really nails what we were talking about when it comes to the space you got to give people. We have 30 years of friendship, and it would be insane to believe that in that 30 years there wasn't some points that could have been the breaking point. You know, that this thing could have just blown to smithereens, as they say. And everything.
I'm thinking of one.
Me too.
Oh, no, Jesus.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But here's the thing, and this is what brings back to the value piece. You know, because the value was in place, because we cared about each other, we were able to say, do we want to lose what we have over this?
Over this.
You get what I'm saying? Over this. Because here's the thing. Because when something rips all you got apart, Yeah. It goes on to the next destructive thing that it's going to do.
Wow.
You understand what I'm saying? And you've lost what was great over something that its only mission is to destroy what could be great for you. So, So I'm only saying that to say that 30 years is a testimony to commitment of the will.
Yeah.
And it's a testimony to say that I have watched this purpose that nothing can happen that I won't give you grace for, because you've proven that the value is there. So I just wanted to just kind of throw that out there, you know, because people don't want to lose people, man. You know that.
You know,
people
don't
want to lose people, man. People are hurting, and you know, someone's crying right now because somebody's leaving or talking about leaving or doing the you know, the thing that we hate the most, threatening with divorce, or you know, all the things that we do, dirty fighting. And in reality, if we can get some people to see that, you know, stop focusing on what you don't want and begin to focus on what you really want, and don't be afraid to speak your heart. You know what I mean? Look, I don't want to fight you. I don't know how to come out of this, because this is what I've learned to do when these type of situations happen. You know, help me not be this way. And if we need to go get help, let's go get help, because people are worth it.
Man, that's powerful. Guys, do me a favor, man. Share this video right now. I think other people ought to be on. Man, this is how we talk every day, y'all. After his show, after my show, so Mondays he called me, Tuesdays I call him, and this is how we talk. So y'all are just getting out the show. We just said, let's let the people hear how we talk. I tell you something, man. One of the most powerful things, I think, in our 30-year friendship that you did, I can't even remember what year it was, you know, because of course, me coming up the way that I have, with just so much trauma and insecurities about people walking in and out of my life. You know, what was amazing to me, man, I remember that was a pivotal point, because I was really afraid, which is not a good word, because you end up, people don't really realize you end up manifesting what you fear if you don't deal with it. And I think you were sensing it. And I was afraid of just, man, you weren't going to be there, because folks, you got to understand, this man has been everything to me. And I tell him this every day. So again, he ain't hearing nothing he ain't never heard, you know, best friend, father, brother, mentor, counselor, pastor when I needed it, you know, belt whooper, you know, in fact, I gave Kim his phone number. I said, if you ever got hit cold red, you know, somehow you can't calm me down, which I knew it wouldn't. I said, call Mike. I said, no, because I'm going to listen to you 99.9. But that 0.1, you know, he can get to me. But I remember, man, in that point in our relationship, and just, man, insecurities are swirling. I just thought this relationship would end like so many of them end that was close to me. And you just said, Mom, I'm not leaving. You got to understand. You said, we're not ever going to not be friends unless we both decide this is not something we want to do anymore.
That's right.
The beauty in that, and here's what people miss. From that point on, I felt like our friendship even went down to an even deeper level.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So I do.
It was like, at that point, I could sit back and really be myself and really give you from honest opinions to everything. And I'm bringing this up because I think there has to come a seminal moment in all relationships where you guys got to say, look, the rubber hits the road. We're not leaving. So everybody can sit back and be what everybody needs and wants each other to be. You cannot be your 100% authentic self with a relationship that's on the clock.
Yeah. Yeah. As I listen to you, you kind of said it. But here's the thing. Most times people will stop clowning if they know you won't leave.
Wow.
They're clowning because they're already sensing that this is not going to last like so many others that might not have last. And so they're trying to be the first one to put to open the door, because they don't want to be the one that was put out.
Yeah.
So once you settle that, hey, I'm here for the long haul, all the fears begin to subside, because, I mean, we're talking about people that have value and understand. All the fears begin to subside because I can now not worry about acting out, because you have promised me that you're going to be here with me.
Right.
And that's where a lot of this comes from, because at our core, we want somebody to love us. And to love me means that I'm worth it. Okay? Am I worth it if every time I do something, you out the door? Am I worth it if the second argument, you can't take it no more? No. I will calm down if we are clear that this is never going to end, because I don't have any trepidation now about really being me.
Man, you know what? I just got just goosebumps, man, because when you said that, you know what I thought about too, man? This is probably the reason why a lot of people have an issue with their relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because so many people think that they can do stuff, and all of a sudden this relationship, this sonship, this daughtership with God, he don't want to be your daddy no more.
Yeah.
How can you love an authentic, have a pure, authentic relationship even with God when you think the relationship is on the clock?
Listen to me. You heard me say it tonight. Love and control are twins, but they're not identical.
Come on, man. You
know what I'm saying? And a lot of times we're looking at controlling relationships, and we're trying to call it love. If your love for me is based strictly on me pleasing you, and I'm not allowed to make any mistakes and learn and grow and cultivate, if you're telling me that I don't have opportunity and room to mess up, then at the end of the day, you're not loving me. I'm a slave to whatever your passions and desires are. And this is all about what you're trying to get from me, not what I have to offer. I got something to offer, and learning and growing and expanding is part of how that happens. So if you're not willing to walk with me through some terrain that might be tough and might be gloomy and dismal, then you know you're really not about me.
Come on,
I don't
bro.
Know why I'm getting so passionate,
man. Because man, this is real. You know what I'm saying? And,
yes.
And now let's bring God down. Let's bring him. Let's put him somewhere else. Because what you just said, even in and it's like, you won't allow me to grow. You won't allow me to make mistakes. You won't allow me to enter in my fallibilities. Well, what does that say about you when you have the same ones?
Exactly.
That's not even being honest.
That's right. You know, you're holding me to a standard that you're breaking every day. You know, you're holding me to a standard that you can't keep yourself, you know. And so that lets you know that it's really about control. And it lets you know that you don't really love me, because you don't want to share your life with me.
Right.
You don't want to spend real time with me. You know, you want me to keep you company, but you don't want to help me be what I'm supposed to be. This is all about you. And those are horrible relationships to be a part of.
Wow. I have one emerging ticket left that I purchased. I purchased several of them. I've given two away. I've got one for myself. Lady Kim won't be there. You know, she's going to be in Orlando. She's leaving tomorrow. On your birthday, she's leaving tomorrow, so I won't have her at home with me, so I ain't got nothing to do. On your birthday, I don't want to hear all this. I went bowling.
You got something to do, friend. You got something to do.
I'm just saying.
Yes, sir.
I don't hear all that. I went bowling.
Yes, sir.
You know, you start naming the other road dogs.
Hey, I just came up with something that's going to surprise you, so I'm not going to say anything. But I just came up with something that's going to surprise you.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I just want to be at the party.
You at the party? Came up with something. This is going to be really interesting.
You trying to treat me like the elder son. You've been with me all this time. You could have been through a party. Hey, I want to give away an emergency ticket. So here we go. If you want to come to Immersion this Saturday, and you know you're coming, and you maybe right now just things are tight, but you know you need a change. You know you really want to meet the you that you've yet to meet. I want to give you a free ticket tonight. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to inbox me and tell me why you want to be at Immersion. And by the time I only got a few more minutes with Pastor Michael Bradford here, and by the time we get off the phone. By the time we was talking on the phone, by the time we get off of way up tonight, I'm going to let you know that you want. I'm not going to read why you want the ticket, but I'll read it and I'll bless you with this free ticket.
Hey,
and you just go ahead.
Hey, and I'm going to give a ticket so you can bring somebody with you of your choice.
Wow.
So that you can have somebody that you know in the conference, so that you can share that experience with them.
This is a $200 value all this great man is asking you for is a day of your time to donate to benefit you, a $200 value. So not only if you inbox me and tell me why you need to be at this conference, and the best one, I'll pick it. He says you won't have to come alone. So we take away all the trepidation, all the butterflies. You get to bring somebody with you, sit there, get all of this information that this great man is going to pour into you all day Saturday for you to lead to be, I mean, the very best version of yourself that you can be. Inbox me at Monty Weatherall. You know what? I told y'all again. Now, my number's been up here the whole time he's been on. He's getting ready to go now. We got the waning moments with Michael Bradford. He's the host of the Emerging Conference 2018. You know him as pastor. You're going to see him in a whole nother wonderful ray of light this Saturday. I want you to give us a call at 618-230-3839. He does not take questions on his show. This is a rarity. this is a rarity. So I'm telling you, you got a question. I love what Jamie said. The monetary value is $200. The awakening value is priceless. Yes, Jamie, you are so right, Queen. That's right. So you got a question, 230-3839. Give me a call. We'll take your calls. I got the phone hot. He'll take it, ready to answer your calls, any relationship question. Yes. So, man, yeah. So we start at 9 o'clock and it's over at 4 o'clock. And there's going to be a lunch included.
That's right.
Man, and I just think you're just going to be pouring and pouring and pouring.
That's right. You know? Included. And of course, we have refreshments throughout the day. So, you know, you better go get you some coffee, get you some tea, you know, as we're going through. So, you know, it won't be a situation. And we're going to appeal to all avenues of learning, you know, visual, auditory, kinesthetic. So it won't be however you learn, you'll be able to learn that day. So you won't be sitting there and say, just a whole day speech. I can't believe it. You know, right. No, it won't be that. We want to make sure that you're engaged, and we're going to make sure that it is happening for you that day.
Somebody says, Pamela McGee, she asked me, I just, Pamela, I'm so sorry. I never do that. But this is good. I'm glad this is not a personal question, so praise God.
Right.
Pam, I'm sorry. I never do that on my inbox. Woo! First time in the history. I'm glad it's not a personal question, so thank God. She says she's really been blessed. Do you all ever come to the South? You know what? We can come to the South.
That's right.
Pam, hit me up, Pam, and let us know where you're from. We can come to the South. We can make happen. And actually, I know on my book tour, we haven't come to the South together, but on my book tour, I've been to Memphis. I've been to St. Petersburg, Florida. I believe I'm going to be in Arkansas, Little Rock, either October or January, so it's coming. But you know what, man? See, people giving us vision. We got to do something together.
You know what? I agree. We've kind of talked about it, but here's the thing. And I think when I let me put it to you like this: what you're doing right now, you've been doing this since you was a kid.
Yeah.
Okay. What I'm doing Saturday.
Yeah.
I've been doing it all my life.
All your life.
You know, so. When we get opportunity to show the essence, because that's what we're doing right now. We're showing essence.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll take that anywhere because that's worship. You know, it is us expressing who we are in a way that only we can do. It can't be duplicated. And we want to take it wherever it needs to be.
That's it. I mean, that's it. People are saying, you know, come to Ohio. Somebody said, come to North Carolina.
I know who that is.
Yeah.
I know who that is too.
come to my hometown in Memphis. You know what, guys? I tell you what, and he and I will talk. You know, if you guys have a church or a pastor, you know, that we could talk to, we can come through. We'd love to do that. We'd love to do that. You know, God is opening up the doors for us. You know, but we get a crowd of folks, we'll come do it. It'll give us a chance. You know, he and I have been talking about taking a vacation. We, you know, we went somewhere as young men, but now men with a little money, I think it's time for us to go somewhere.
That's right. I like that.
You know, that's what Tom Kim said today. I was telling her I haven't really gone on vacation since her and I got back from Hawaii in early February. She's like, honey, you want to go somewhere with Mike? I said, you know what? You're so right. I've been saying that to him, but you know, just kind of nailing us both down to do it. Yeah. So, Few minutes, y'all. I'm telling you, he's looking at his phone. He ready to go. I think his phone, there it is.
Yeah, I got it on airplane mode, so I don't understand how these calls are getting through.
Yeah, it might be somebody with an iPhone that can call your network. Okay. Through the network. So we have someone, I think, that's on. We got a few more minutes. Any more questions for Michael C. Bradford? Got a few more minutes with him. He's almost giving us an hour, and his show only 30 minutes.
Yeah, because you know, I was sitting there thinking, I ain't.
We was going to talk on the phone an hour anyway. So.
Yeah, the phone is one thing. But I'm on the global network.
Man. So, man, you know, what's coming up, man? We got Emerging Saturday. How long are you going to do Bone? When does season two of Bone wrap?
Well, you know what? I've been watching you. So I've learned how to do this show thing, you know. I'm going to take a break next week, kind of relax and be cool. I'm probably come back for a couple of shows, and then we're going to take a little hiatus. And, you know, so, and then we'll come back stronger for season three. So, we got Christmas and all of that coming up. I think I saw you take the holidays off. And so I've learned how to do that. I burned myself out the first time, not knowing how to put those rest periods in there. So this time that's what we're going to do. So that's how we're going to do it.
Same here with Relationship Monday. As you said, we're going to take it up to like around November, third week of November, and we're going to shut it down for the rest of the year. Man, I'm so glad I got Jamie on board now. As a part of our team, your daughter, you know.
That's right, my Booka Wooka.
You know, she's on board, and Brittany's on board, Kim's on board. So Relationship Monday's going to come back bigger and stronger, man. I got to get Caroline Strawson back on because, man, that divorce piece is going to be a great piece.
Yeah. You know. Can I go back one more time?
Man, yeah, man. This your show.
Oh, it's my show now.
Yeah. Hey, that's how I keep them on, y'all. This your show.
But you know what? Kim told you that me and you should take a trip. And what's really interesting is, and you've heard me say this before, when you meet somebody, the circle should expand.
Yeah.
Okay. People don't understand that when you have real relationships, your partner can trust who they marry implicitly with who they knew before they came on the set. And so to me, that's just such a wonderful, great thing. I love Kim with all my heart, you know, and, I just thank God that you made an excellent, excellent, excellent choice. Okay. And so, you know, I just want people to know that if you get into relationships and the circle doesn't get bigger, you made a bad choice.
Man. Okay?
You made a very, very bad choice. If they want to, you know, under the guise of, you know, I just want to keep you to myself. Oh, no. You're trying to control me and move me out of my family circle, my friend unit. I'm not doing
it. We got a call on the air. Thank you for calling PM in the PM with Monty and Michael. Oh, look at that. I just came up with something new. Where are you calling from, caller?
I'm calling from Madison, Illinois.
Do you have a
actually,
question?
Yes, Michael Bradford is actually my pastor.
Talk to your pastor then. You could have waited to Sunday, but thanks for calling. I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Queen.
But my question is about forgiveness. If you believe or you've convinced yourself that you have forgiven someone, but you may be struggling with moving forward with them in an intimate relationship or struggling with how close you get to them after you've been hurt or after you've been offended, have you really forgiven? And how do you know that you've truly forgiven if you feel that you're struggling in the area of intimacy after the offense?
That's a good question, caller. Just stay on the line here just in case he has a follow-up question for you.
Okay.
Go ahead, sir.
First of all, when it comes to forgiveness, it's a decision, okay? It's not something that emotionally you will always feel, okay? It's a decision that you make about the situation. Now, here's what I say to people when it comes to forgiveness, because a lot of times when there's trepidation about further intimacy, there's some things that have not been seen a lot of times that gives you comfort in what you need to see to proceed. So here's the thing. The first thing that has to be is repentance, okay? There has to be true repentance that this person or whatever is not going to do it anymore. The second thing that has to be is retribution, okay? And to me, that's the piece that we always try to leave out. You know, what must I do to make this right, okay? Because if you don't see that, a lot of times people are trying to go on, but it's difficult for you emotionally to go on. Because you're not seeing where they're willing to do what it takes to make it right. So there has to be repentance, there has to be retribution, and the third piece, there has to be a rebuilding of trust, okay? And that's a process that takes time, okay? So if you, in this situation, if you're not seeing part number two, retribution, because I don't believe that people want to not trust or not regain, because repentance is about taking the relationship back to where it was before it hurt, before the pain showed up. So if the part two of retribution is not being seen, it's going to be difficult for you to have intimacy and be free about it, okay? So have the difficult conversation, okay? Let the person know that, hey, what I'm really feeling, I'm still feeling some offense or some angst, maybe not offense, but some angst about where we are in respect to what I'm looking at. Can we make this better so that I can feel comfortable in my proceeding?
Caller, did that question help you out?
Oh my gosh. Actually, I was struggling to even hear the response. If I could get a quick recap.
I tell you what, I'm not going to delete the video. When Pastor's off, I want you to go back because he gave a thorough response. That way you can concentrate and get your notebook ready, because it was a great, great, great answer for you. I want to thank you for calling PM in the PM with Mike and Monty. Thank you so much.
M&Ms.
Thank you.
I'm getting in on it.
You know, one of the things that you said, then I'm going to answer Jamie's question. I'm going to see what else you got for us before we go. You know, I hope that the audience tonight heard this, because I think this is key. And again, when I'm on book tour, you know, my whole session really is about forgiveness.
Yes, it because is.
That's a powerful chapter in my book, Taking My Life Back. It's just really over my shoulder right there. There it is. But it's a powerful piece on forgiveness. And that's really what I teach. But the thing I want you, ladies and gentlemen, to hear that pastor was saying, forgiveness, you have to walk through the process. We say it's a process, but we don't walk through the process. I think the most detrimental thing that you can do is when I'm on tour, I talk to them about forgiving the Sunday school way. That's just simply saying I forgive, but you don't walk through the different processes. He gave you steps, and I give you steps when I'm on tour, and I give you steps in my book of how to walk through the process of forgiveness. You just can't say, I forgive you.
That's
and then
right.
We wonder why we still have these feelings, because you really didn't forgive. You called yourself forgiving, but what you did is you gave words from a what I call a guilt position. Sometimes, especially, hate to say this, man, this is hard, Mike.
Yeah.
Sometimes the church has really guilted us into forgiving.
That's
and
right.
Not taught us how to do it.
That's right.
If you don't forgive, God ain't going to forgive you. So now we're scared. So we say, okay, I forgive you, but we still got these, like the sister said, I can't connect intimately. What's going on? Because you haven't learned to go through what Mike just gave us, the process of forgiveness. Once you walk through those steps, you'll be able to get back to that place of intimacy or even trust, as he was talking about.
That's right.
What do you think about that, man?
You know what? I think anything that has been damaged, you know, there has to be a repairing. Okay, and repairing, we're in the word repairing, that's process, like you just said. You know, you wreck your car, you just don't get it back like it was like that. There has to go to the shop, there has to be some construction done, and it has to be repaired. Relationships are like that too. And when we teach people that, you know what I mean, you just got to forgive, that's just how it is. God forgave you, you forgive them. You know, when we come off like that, and we don't teach the psychology of it, we do more damage than anything. Because we're telling people to do something that they have not the skill set to do. And so we need to teach people how to walk through it. You know, but it's not just about emotion. But if people are not, because here's the thing, and I need to see that you are sorry. And I'm not talking about, you know, judging or grading it. But there are acts of repentance that have to come with your repentance. You know, if I tell you I'm sorry and I slap you again, Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry again. You said 70 times 7. All the stuff we teach without dealing with the psychology of what needs to happen for that thing to be sealed in you where you can go on like it never happened before. That is process. If you eliminate process, somebody's going to be hurt real bad.
Amen. Amen to that. Amen to that. Man, you know, guys, I'm going to put it on podcast so y'all can listen to this over on Spotify. I'm going to record it and put it. This is my Relationship Monday show. Hey, got 2 minutes. 2 minutes for well, we started at 8:52. We got 1 minute. I want to jump in. Jamie has one question, man. I think it's a great question. I want you to hit this. Is this okay? From the newlywed, Jamie, she says, how do you suggest practicing individual growth in marriage? How do you suggest practicing individual growth in marriage?
It almost sounds like a trick question. So hear me, baby. Generally, if we're on a path of growth individually, it's a practice that we've already established. You know, if I'm a person that I'm about going to the next level, that's something that I already do. So by default, the question is almost, the answer and the problem are almost in the same statement. You know, it's the unit growth that sometimes is more so the issue, because what you have a habit or pattern of doing, that's what you're already doing anyway. Maybe you know, you already study, you're on this show tonight, you know, you're already doing what it takes to relationally. That's your way. So your individual growth is already there. If the question is disguised a little bit because you want a compatibility growth with your partner, then you have to find a way to get him involved in the same educational process that you're in and that you're on, the path that you're on.
That's good. That's good. It's funny because I was thinking the same thing. When you're committed to growth as an individual, even prior to marriage, you're going to stay on that track.
Right.
You know, when you're committed to it. You know, the thing that I love about you and I, man, we're just lifelong learners.
Right.
And so even when we step into a new season or a new environment, we're going to learn even at that stage, at that season, in that environment. And what he's saying, Jamie, he's already said it. You're already doing things like this. It shows that you're committed to growth. So you're on that path. And I think that because you're on that path, God is just going to bring the teacher to you. The other things that you need to learn. But like you said, man, I mean, I think the other thing is, you know, I would be concerned about us because here's the thing. You don't want to outgrow him.
Exactly.
Now that's a whole nother can of worms.
That's right.
You know, so you want to make sure now the growth is about, as Pastor already said, we're growing together. I told y'all this on a Relationship Monday show. Best piece of advice he gave me, you meaning you, man, is at my wedding reception. And then he was giving the toast. It was with water, judgers. Hey, remember that joke?
We hadn't got to the miracle part yet. I'm joking.
you remember that joke Rico said at my wedding reception?
I kind of do.
He said, all these preachers in here, and can't none of y'all can't turn this water into wine. I said, that boy crazy. But Rico is my brother, y'all. He's my younger brother. But one thing you said, man, at the toast with the water part was that, man, take her with you. You know, and that's something, man. You know, I remember when I called you last week and I told you I was on my way to Freeport to preach and then over to Chicago. And holding me accountable. You said, is Kim with you? I said, absolutely. He was like, that's right, man. Take her with you. Yes. I never forgot that, man. I value that piece of information because, I the worst thing couples can do is get married. And then they start talking about we grew apart. No, y'all didn't grow together.
That's right.
And you ran off. One of them ran off and left the other person.
That's right.
You just can't do that.
You know, and I think with that being said, when you understand that you're in a relationship, you got to be clear on that the growth has to be continually together. And what happens is, like you said, I'm repeating, I'm parroting, but I just think it needs to be re-said. When you really understand that, at the end of the day, I want to make sure that we are growing together because I don't want to look up one day and don't know you.
Yeah.
And that happens so many times that people say, well, it's like the relationship just went bad. The relationship didn't go bad. You stop doing things together. You stop growing together. You stop sharing. And one day you looked up and there were different interests, different mindsets, and you don't even know when it happened. But I can tell you when it happened. It happened when you left each other and decided not to stay together and do things together.
Wow. Well, I was going to say, now you beat me to, well, that's my dog do. Well, 8:55. man, I'm going to wait till you come back and get the call.
I'm back.
Yeah. 8:55. We've given y'all an hour and 7 minutes of unscripted.
Can't beat that.
Huh?
I said, can't beat
that. Can't beat that, man. Listen, guys, Saturday, 9 o'clock. Yes. Get there. Get in there so you can get your name. I want to give this away to Kenitra Crawley. You are the person that's being blessed with the immersion tickets. You say, I need that ticket. You get two of them to bring you and the guest, Kenitra Crawley. Would you please send me your name? I see your name and your email address, so I can send that over to the staff at Immersion for this weekend so they can have you when you walk up to the booth with the man himself. He's going to be there all day. Like he said, it's not going to be a 9-hour sermon. you know, it's going to be tools that you need.
Yes.
Your life, to spend the life on a whole nother level. I'll be there for the first part. Then I got to go teach the congregation at Love Church Saturday evening. But I'm gonna be ready to get fed and bring your passion to learn and to grow.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You the man. Any last words, sir?
You know what I always say when I am bone. The only reason I do this is to make your life better. And so I want everybody to know that when you come Saturday, I'm going to make your life better. I will fulfill my end of the obligation and the bargain.
And as I always say, I was given a life sentence like you were getting a life sentence. My life sentence is to help you become the best, very best version of yourself. That's why I exist, to help you become the very best version of yourself. Good night, y'all.
Well,
we gone.